When you think about what it means to be a Baptist, most people associate it with this, with baptism. But we Baptists have traditionally been guilty of, well, shall I say, watering down baptism. By saying baptism is, oh, it's only a symbol. But it's much more than a symbol, as Lisa can tell you. There is power in baptism. Baptism is a defining moment in life. Baptism is a holy collision between the Spirit of God and an individual who is committed to following Christ. And Lisa really has set the example for us this morning, because, as I mentioned, she was christened as a baby. Lisa, that was your mom and dad's act of faith. When they took you to the church, as parents in the Baptist church will bring their children to be dedicated to God, it is an act of faith. It is a commitment saying, I'm going to raise my child in the church. I'm going to be a Christian example in their life. That's what your folks did. But today, you have responded with an act of faith. And I would say it is a radical act of faith. And even though Lisa is from Minnesota, and I know she's used to this weather, we just had the coldest night of the year, the coldest week in recent memory, and yet she's willing to wade into these waters of baptism, even though we do have Ronnie. And for those of you who are going to the Holy Land in a few weeks, we will also go to the Jordan River. And I see Gary Wickstrom up there. Gary, it's good to see you back, by the way. But Gary and I will never forget a number of years ago when we waded into the waters of the Jordan River. Gary, you wouldn't believe how they've changed that place. I think back when you were baptized in the Jordan, it was kind of like just a boat ramp that went down. That's about all there was. And it was slick. And I had on Bob Team's flip-flops that he had had since he was in medical school, I'm convinced. Because Gary went down in baptism, and then I almost went down, and I brought him up, and he brought me up. And I'll never forget that experience. And for those of you going to the Holy Land, we will go to the Jordan River, but we will not go to the exact place where John the Baptist baptized Jesus, because, number one, you can't get there. Number two, that's not conducive to the baptisms, because it's the waters are muddy, the waters are shallow, and when Jesus went into the waters of the Jordan River and asked the old hermit, John the Baptist, who, remember, was his cousin with breath smelling of locusts and wild honey, when he asked him to baptize him in the muddy waters of the Jordan, that indeed was a radical act of faith. It was a defining moment in his life. It defined everything about his life, because that was when the journey started on the Via Crucis, the way of the cross. It was through the sign of baptism, when he was buried into the waters, as Lisa was buried into the waters this morning, that he gave up any type of selfish ambition. And we all know that Jesus was born to die, that he was a man of divine destiny, and that destiny was the cross. Dr. Will Willimon, who used to be at Duke, said, "We must not think of baptism as the water that washes, but rather as the flood that drowns." This passage that Jim read just a few moments ago from Mark, there's something in this that is easy for us to miss. Because after Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, what happens? It says the heavens opened. No, it says the heavens were torn open. That is a powerful and a violent word. The only other time that it's used in the synoptics is when the curtain in the temple was torn asunder, was ripped apart after the crucifixion. Something's going on here. Something powerful is going on here. The ancients looked at the world totally differently than we do. Well, maybe not totally differently. But when they saw the world, they saw the underworld, and that's where the devils and all that was evil. Of course, the world in which we live. But then they looked above. They looked into the heavens. Of course, this is where God resided. But when they looked up at the sky, and my brother Dave tells me the sky is, what color do you always say it is? The sky is, okay, go ahead, you just say it. Oh, I heard that. Yeah, a little cloudy today, but the sky is Carolina blue, but that's not what they saw. You see, they thought there was an ocean above. And they thought they were looking at the bottom of the heavenly waters. And if you read the flood story, and this is fascinating, if you read the flood story, you see the waters that come from above and also the waters that come from below. But do you know how God makes it rain? Now forget everything you've learned in school. Do you know how God makes it rain? He just opens the window of heaven and the water comes down. Now that's what they thought. Isn't that neat? You have an ocean up there. So you just open the windows of heaven and the water comes down, gently comes down. But that's not what happened at Jesus' baptism. The windows of heaven were not open, but the heavens were torn asunder. And then a dove. Sometimes I think we believe at Jesus' baptism that there was just a little dove that descended and hovered and cooed. But that's not the image that we find in the Gospel of Mark. What we find is a dove didn't just descend. A dove dive-bombed like a missile. It shot right into the heart of the Savior and sealed him with a divine mission. It is a radical, it is a violent act that takes place. The heavens are torn asunder. And if you go to the 63rd chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah prays that one day God would tear open the windows of heaven and descend unto the earth. Baptism is not merely symbolic. It is a radical act of faith and commitment. There is a UCC minister in Connecticut by the name of Maxwell Grant. He preached a sermon a few years ago in which he raises this interesting analogy. He said, What if instead of a little chaste sprinkling of water on the forehead, or even full immersion in the pool, what if the only way to join the church was by skydiving? What do you think? Are you willing? Do you have that much faith? What if the only way that we could join the church was to jump out of a plane into thin air, into the arms of God? Would it make a difference? He goes on to say that for those of us who are very involved in the church, for those of us who have been a part of the church our whole lives, and for those of you that are so committed and so active and you're faithfully here each week, there are times that church life can be demanding. There are times that church life can be challenging. There are times that church life can be disheartening because you are trying your best We try and try and try to do the right thing. We work hard on a project only to be criticized by somebody who didn't think we did it the right way. And when you're involved in the life of a church, sometimes the things that rise to the surface are things like the heating and air. By the way, it's nice and warm in here, Jim. Thank you very much. It's either too hot, it's either too cold. Are the meals on Wednesday night? Or why can't we do things the way we did 10 years ago? Or the budget, or on and on? I want to tell you, it is enough to make a preacher lose his hair. I speak from experience. But what if? What if, regardless, and the reason the church is that way is because the church is full of people. And people are sinful human beings. But what if all of us, sinful members of this congregation, what if we all had one act in common that one day you had summoned up enough courage to leap into thin air and into the arms of God? Wouldn't it make a profound difference? Well, there is that one radical act of faith that we have in common, and it is called baptism. Because one day the majority of you, and if you haven't been baptized, then I really want to talk to you. One day we summon the courage, as Lisa did today, to walk into the waters of the baptistry or the waters of the river, and to commit our life to the Lord Jesus Christ with the confession that Jesus is Lord, doing away with all selfish ambition, making sure that our life is grounded in the life of Christ. And just as that violent moment when the heavens tore open and the dove dive bombed to the surface, so we received the Spirit of God that sealed our commitment and is with us to this day. In the Genesis story that Jim read, it talks about chaos. The Genesis writer begins with those powerful words, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the world was what? It was without form. It was void. Darkness covered the face of the deep." Now, if you go to the book of Psalms, if you go to the book of Job, that chaos is described by a sea monster. Did you all know this? There's a sea monster in the Bible. His name is Leviathan. And Leviathan is symbolic of that chaos. But the Spirit of God that hovers over the waters of creation, when it descends in a violent way, in a powerful way, when God speaks, "Let there be light," and suddenly there was light, and the light and darkness were separated, God is creating a sense of order out of chaos. And that is what happens to us. We have lives that are chaotic. We have lives in which we have no direction and we have no purpose. But when we go through this radical act of faith and we receive the Spirit of God, then order and calm and peace is created. Which brings us to the next thing that happened at Jesus' baptism. Because after the dove, what did the dove do? Dive bombed to the surface. There was a voice. There was a beautiful voice. A voice of blessing that simply said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Most all of us here today can recall our baptism. I remember a few years ago we had a baptism and I had several members of the congregation who shared their own baptismal story. Gene Klump, I think you were one of those, right? You talked about being baptized in the rivers of Texas back in the old days with the... Oh, okay. But I do remember your story of baptism, and I remember several others. When I look back on my baptism, You know what I remember more than anything else? Now, I was baptized on a Sunday night. That's the way we did it. How many of you were baptized on a Sunday night? That's the way it was back in ye olden days. Dr. Clifford, Dr. Kuhn, back when you had Sunday night church, that's when you did the baptisms. So I was baptized on a Sunday night. And I remember it vividly. I remember walking down into the water. I remember looking out over the congregation. I remember my pastor's strong hands and his words. But the thing I remember more than anything else was when I walked out of the baptistry, soaking wet, as Lisa was just a few minutes ago. I remember Mr. Grady Long, who was the mayor of our little town. He was a local lawyer, but he was there with a big towel. And he wrapped that towel around me with his arms, and he held me close until I stopped shivering. That was a blessing. That was an affirmation. And it's when we receive the Spirit of God that we receive the words of blessing. This is my beloved child with whom I am pleased. Many of you have heard me tell the story of a special needs young man in my first church about his baptism, Johnny Parker's baptism. I've told it several times at Bible study. I see some of our Bible study faithful here today. But I want to share another story with you, a special needs story of baptism that comes from Dr. Bill Leonard. Most of you know Dr. Leonard. He's spoken several times in this church. He's been here for the Parker Lectures. He's over at Wake Forest Divinity School. Bill and his wife have a special needs daughter, Stephanie. When Stephanie was 16 years old, back in 1991, the Leonards were in Louisville, Kentucky. He was a professor at Southern Seminary, and they were members of the Crescent Hill Baptist Church. And they were coming home from church on the third Sunday of December when Stephanie said to her mom and dad, "It's time for me to be baptized." Bill said he never really thought his daughter would receive baptism because she couldn't conceptualize the concepts of what it really means to be baptized. She didn't understand all of the doctrines of atonement and sin and salvation and being buried with Christ. All of that she couldn't understand. But she said, "It's time for me to be baptized." He said, "We went to see our minister, our pastor, and Bill said he was everything a pastor was supposed to be." He didn't ask her what she knew. He asked her what she wanted to be. "Do you want to be a follower of Jesus?" And she said, "Yes." And they prayed together. And on Christmas Eve, 1991, Stephanie entered into the baptistry of the Crescent Hills Baptist Church in Louisville, the same baptistry where her father had been baptized. And the pastor asked the same question I asked this morning, "What is your confession of faith?" And Stephanie replied, "Jesus is Lord." And under she went, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and in the presence of a congregation that had loved her and nurtured her for 16 years. But Bill goes on to say, we're all special needs persons, you and I. And some of us, it's just more public than it is others. And there's not a single one of us who can really understand what it's all about, who can understand the concepts of theology. Now, Bill is a doctor of theology. He has been a dean. He is a professor at a respected theological institution. But this is what he said. But I have never been as close to grace as my daughter was on that Christmas Eve when she went into the waters of baptism and confessed her faith to be a follower of Jesus. So what about you? On this first Sunday of the new year, let me be very personal. Have you been baptized? And if you have not been baptized, then why not? What prevents you from being baptized? Why not take the plunge? Why not take the radical step of faith and walk into the waters of baptism? We could even do that this morning, although your name wouldn't get in the bulletin. But what about you? And what about all of us who remember our baptism as life's defining moment? Have we been faithful? Have we been true? Do we do justice? Do we love kindness? Do we walk humbly with our God? Let us pray. As we begin a new year together, may we be people of faith, willing to make a radical commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ through baptism. If there is one here who's struggling with that decision, I pray that today would be a day in which they would say, why not? And they would take a step of faith. But may we all be willing to take a step of faith into the arms of Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen.